When the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show, the best soccer show in the whole world.
Here we go! It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis and Jared Dubois live post-game. USA 3, Mexico 2.
Oh.
Nations League champions, Jared. It's all I've ever wanted. The Nations League trophy belongs to us, and we took it away from Mexico.
I still don't know what it is, but I'm happy it's ours.
What did we just witness? Like, what was... First of all, it is 12:27 on the East Coast.
Oh,
your boy
it?
And Nikki Soup and Salad are putting in late night hours for you people. I'm amped up. I got so much energy right now. I'm going to get through this, but what did we
How much did your perspective change over the last 3 hours?
Yeah, there was like, oh my God, this is the worst thing I've ever seen, to, wow, look at this team. They've got a little bit of fight in them, to, oh my, we're going to lose this one, right? The gut punch again.
I'm worried we're going to lose track of the fact it was the worst thing we've ever seen for a while, and then just because of the way it ended, but happy for now, and then we're going to get super cynical for a bit, I think.
I cannot believe what we just... You're right. So many things happened that I don't even know where to begin. Like, how do we even sum up what we witnessed? Now, there are some podcasts out there in the American soccer world, Jared. They will do a close rewatch of the game, and they will give you minute-by-minute tactical insight, and they will tell you what worked for Greg Berhalter and what he got wrong, and the changes and how they impacted the game and the space that opened up, and et cetera, et cetera. Yes, that's all good. Go listen to those shows tomorrow or Tuesday. But right now, this is
pure emotion,
wild emotion. And it's like we're back. And I said this during the game. I tweeted it out. Even if they had lost that match, because I think it was 2-2 when I said this, they leveled up as a young group fighting against Mexico, a veteran Mexican team with Hector Herrera and Arturo Escardado, obviously at the end there, and all the talent Mexico has, to put in the fight and to even be there at the end was exactly what I wanted to see. That's what I wanted this thing to be.
Yeah, I wanted the win, but what I'm so happy about is that this team got bled in today. They got bled in tonight. Like this, the way they started the game, afraid of Mexico.
Yeah.
They looked like they were afraid of Mexico. Didn't understand how to be physical. Mexico understood what this game was earlier than the USA understood what this game was. As this game went on, I feel they figured out what the US-Mexico rivalry is. Because most of the guys on Mexico side have played multiple versions of this.
Oh, for sure.
Most of these guys, this is the first time. And they looked scared a bit in the first... Right. 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I was worried for this team. Over the course of it, they figured out the physicality. They figured out the grit. They figured out how to get stuck in, make it dirty, make it ugly, and find the chances within the game. That's what I like.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. There's a lot of changes that have to be made in the future in this team.
So I saw this. I'm going to get to our phone calls because we do have phone lines open. 717-727-2378, that spells best, and we're feeling like the best right now. Morgan's waiting. I'm going to get to her, I promise. But I do think it's right to say that Berhalter got a lot wrong to start the game and then got things slightly more right as the game went along. But that
it's
doesn't
like
mean
he figured out the game as it went along as well, like his
it
players.
Doesn't, yeah, that doesn't mean he gets a pass here. And I know there are some people already, like even with the victory, they will say Berhalter screwed the whole thing up. He was terrible. His choices were wrong. Get him out of here. Like, if that's what we're going to get, we're going to be in trouble later on down the line. And even if we qualify, well, what kind of team do we have? I'm here for those discussions. But right now, let's just talk about Weston McKennie taking a role as a leader. Mm. Christian Pulisic, I was watching that game. You were in another room, and I could hear you yelling, by the way, because you had your connection up. I was watching that game with Nikki Soup and Salah. We were sitting here together. And I told him, like, Pulisic, I was like, I don't know, Pulisic on penalty kicks, he likes to take them, like, he likes to place them rather than hit them with power. He placed it with power, and I thought that was a coming of, even though he's been in this team for 5 years or whatever it is now, that was a coming of age moment for Christian Pulisic.
That dude went top shelf. That dude went top shelf. And you know what? That goal right there, that was for Nikki Soup and Sausage on his birthday. Tonight's his birthday, ladies and gentlemen. The big 4-0 for Nicky Soup and Salad. It started on his birthday. Actually, it finished on the day after. But the goal was scored, I think, on his birthday still.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone lines. I'll give Morgan a chance to get in here. It says that she wants to talk about everything, Jared. Morgan.
Hi.
You got to turn the show down, first of all. If you're listening to the show, you got to turn the show down and then talk to us. What's up, Morgan? How you feeling?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Just good? Right, that's so it? You're just good?
All, go ahead. Go,
yeah,
Morgan. Go.
I'm fantastic right now. I'm kind of a little bit sleep deprived, but I am very excited. First of all, happy birthday to Nicky Soup and Salad. I didn't know it was your birthday. Mm-hmm. I guess now, yesterday, but still here for it. And, I mean, like you guys were saying, amazing turnout of a team really put together. It's really nice to see them coming together, which hasn't been always the case. But I do think Greg did a lot of stuff wrong. I don't think his lineup was the best to start out with. We saw that in the first half. The first half was really slow and not very clean. And then something was said in the locker room at halftime, and the whole atmosphere just changed.
Well, so he certainly threw us for a loop. Morgan, I got some other people, so I'm going to let you go. I do appreciate it. He threw us for a loop with the whole three-man back line, three center backs. And we talked about so much about how you got to get Sergino Dest into his best position, and maybe you go to three
who's
center backs.
Who's the first guy subbed off the field?
He was not good, right?
And this is the second time in a three-back formation he has not looked good. We also did this, and I can't remember one of the European games. I can't remember which
Northern
one
Ireland.
Northern Ireland. Did not look good in that game either. So I know there's this push to get him to his best position, but I'm not seeing it. And I don't see how it's worth the exposure where you put Tim Ream in constantly. And even Mark McKenzie, they're getting pulled so far wide against the speed of Mexico. Yeah. That is not fair to those players.
No, I saw a lot of people in our bestie Slack and obviously on Twitter, like, Tim Ream is terrible. He shouldn't be in there. I understand the argument that Tim Ream shouldn't start. But Tim Ream gets hung out to dry by Berhalter because of the tactics he used tonight. And even when he sort of started with the three center back formation, it actually morphed into more of a four-man back line with Ream playing out and out left back and DeAndre Yedlin playing as a right back with Dest pushed up into midfield. Certainly in attack, it looked like that. So you're putting a guy who's going to get roasted. And when Diego Lainez came into the game, I think I died three or four times.
We need to develop a defensively sound left back sometime in the next 2 to 3 years, because Lainez, what is he? That dude's 16?
Like, his name might be Sam Vines, and it might be time to give him a serious look at the
Here's
the thing.
I know we got Anthony Robinson, which is great going forward. I know we got Sergino Dest, which I hear is great going forward. Tim Ream can't play defense out wide. He's too exposed. Reggie Cannon is the best defensive fullback we have, but he plays on the right. We don't have a good defensive left back option. Mm-hmm. Kellen Acosta, congratulations. You did great yeoman's work in that position, but you know what they had to do? And this is the best move that Berhalter made all night. He sent Tyler Adams to double team every time Linus was in the corner.
Well, when Adams came in like the 82nd minute, didn't know he was going to play that much time. But yes, the Greg Berhalter's best move, other than wearing those Jordan 6s, I think they were... Did you
I don't
see
think they're Jordans. They said they're something else. I don't know what they were, though.
No, they were Jordan 6s, but they were... I'm trying to remember that. It's one of the rappers who put that out. Let's go to Solomon in Boston. Just name escape. Travis Scott. They were Travis Scott Jordan 6s is what they were. Solomon, you're on the show. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Just something real quick, but I'm just going to hang up. I mean, you guys already touched on it, but Tim Ream, I just didn't understand that decision by Berhalter and also Mark McKenzie. I mean, he's still very young. You know, mistakes happen, but just something to keep an eye on about, in the future.
Jared, you said it. Appreciate the call, Solomon. You said it that
thank you.
McKenzie was, he's competent as a defender, but
he's a good defender.
But the ball. The first touch and the passing decisions were atrocious. And look, I hope Zach Steffen is not seriously injured. I really do. Yeah. I hope that was just a
tweak. I'm less concerned than I was before.
Sure. And we're going to spend some time on Ethan Horvath, who definitely needs to get the hell out of Club Bruges if they're not going to give him a chance above Mignolet, because he needs to play, because that kid's got some incredible talent.
Yeah.
Zach Steffen, again, nearly killed me multiple times. He is so casual with the ball at his feet, and he doesn't make good choices. So not only do you have
Zach
Steffen
is the guy that starts high stepping at the 20-yard line.
I don't get it. I don't get it. And I don't get why Berhalter, just like starting Ream in a game where you're going to have tricky wide players from Mexico who are absolutely going to skin you if you get into space versus them, I don't know why he continues to rely on the idea that Zach Steffen is going to play the ball out of the back and the U.S. is going to build up through midfield that way. Like
it works really well against lesser competition, but you saw them come up against the stiffest competition they've seen in the last 2 years. This was the hardest test that they've seen. And Mexico pressured because they could tell that the defenders for the USA were not comfortable with the ball at their feet. And I'm telling you, that five-man back line, I know it's three and five, it resulted in not having the positioning in the field that they were comfortable distributing through. They did not have the players in positions they were normally. They look up, they're expecting a guy to be in a certain spot because they've played a four-man back line every game but one up until now with this generation of players. And they weren't in the position they're used to, and they panic when they don't see the guy in space they're expecting to see because we changed the formation on him.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Randall in Florida. Randall, you're on the Best Soccer Show. What's up?
Good to hear from you guys. I am literally trying to figure out what the heck's going on right now because I feel like I'm in a dream world given everything that's happened up until this point.
It was a game that we
probably shouldn't have won.
I was prepared for it. This is the thing that's hard for me. And this was the first meaningful men's national team match since what? The 2019 Gold Cup final? A game we lost to Mexico I don't believe was a first choice group at the time. That was like Berhalter was basically brand new to the job at that point. We lost that game. It was hard to know what it meant. I don't know if I expected them, like if they had lost the game, I would have been disappointed clearly, but I think I would have understood it. So this, we're in bonus territory. Now, again, it would have been nice if they had put together some goals from open play and done some nicer things on the attack. But I think the resolute nature of what they put in, Randall, I think that is maybe as much as encouraging as it would have been if they scored a couple of goals.
We might have seen that kind of play, but there was a goal a minute and 30 seconds into the game. So Mexico gets to play differently at that point. They can make things hard. They don't have to push as hard. You know, a goal that early in the game, everything you thought you were going to do this game is out the window in the first 90 seconds. And the USA took a long time to recover from that because it's easier for Mexico just to take the foot off the pedal. Start to take the foot off the pedal. The U.S. has to find a different way to play than their game plan. They got punched in the face in the very first second of the boxing match.
Yeah. Randall, you got anything else?
Ethan Horvath should have a job by, like, this time next week. Because at this point, Club Brugge ain't going to re-sign him. And wherever he goes, he's on free transfer. Somebody's got to take a chance on him after this.
I thought he was still on a contract. But if he is on a free transfer, absolutely. And I, at one point, was suggesting he land in Los Angeles and play for LAFC because they were in need of a goalkeeper ahead of the season.
I think that's below his level now.
No, I tend to agree. I mean, the chat is saying, like, you know, yes, he is great in certain moments. He made some high-profile saves today, some spectacular things. He saved the penalty kick. And that was, let's be honest, not a great penalty from Andres Guardado, who did go to his knees and his soul left his body the second that Horvath saved
it. And it felt so good. Woo! Oh, my God, that felt so good.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Even Jared over there, noted atheist. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I told my kids, this guy coming in, he's terrible against us. You don't like this guy, Guardado. He's old. He's like 34. He's old, but he's going to get us. Watch this. And then a little bit later, he's taking the penalty.
Remember when his hair was longer? I feel like he looked more
like sinister. Like Ochoa's?
With the short hair. Yeah, when he was rocking the Ochoa do. Anyway, we can talk about most hateable Mexicans. Hector Herrera tonight, goes straight up to the top of the list.
Over Rafa Márquez?
No, I'm talking about on this current team.
Okay.
Let's go to, I saw a Rafa Márquez jersey in the wild today and thought it was a bad omen. Clearly it was not. Alex Nalbaker, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, guys. Congratulations to the U.S. I just wanted to comment on Mexico CONCACAF today by an experienced team with McKinney, Pulisic, those guys from Europe playing, they came in and they started off slow, but at the end, if you notice what they did, they controlled the game, they took it to them, they played hard, they CONCACAF'd them at the end to take the trophy away from them.
And what I've learned in this game is the what I've learned in this game is some players handled stress or playing on the pitch when it's high stakes, high tensions, and some players react well to it, and some players don't react well to it. And there were a couple players that, on the U.S. men's national team that kind of choked under pressure. One was Stefan, who's a lackadaisical play. He just was not in sync with what was going on. McKenzie was the other one. And the U.S. men's national team guys that play overseas in Europe, those guys stepped up and took it to them at the end of the game. That's all I want to say, guys.
All right, appreciate the call, Alex. Bobbling a little bit with the connection at the bottom, at the back end. I just want to go through. I mean, he said some things there. I mean, we can obviously open it up, but I want to go through some things that happened. And I'm not. This is not about. This is not analyzing the performance or the tactics or the lineup or anything. Just some things that happened in that game. So not only do we have multiple coming togethers that were pretty much fights at various points in the match, which
it felt good. You're like old times.
Loved it. Felt like Mexico. There was a period. I think it was the end of the Klinsmann era where it was like USA and Mexico respect each other now. And they like each other.
This game, like 20, 30 minutes in, I was like, you know what's wrong with these kids? You know what's wrong? This is my old man moment. You know what's wrong with these kids? They don't hate these guys enough. They don't hate them. Over the course of this game, I saw it. I saw it in their eyes. I saw it develop in their brains where this is my sworn enemy and they must die.
So,
mentality.
That happened. Greg Berhalter nearly got himself in major trouble by trying to chase down a ball to set up a throw in.
Do you like that though? Do you like that intensity from your coach?
You know, I thought it was kind of goofy.
Is it fake hustle?
No, I get it. He's into the match. That doesn't make up for some of the decisions.
Which was worse, that or Tata Martino going in for the first date, putting the arm around the date at the teleprompter, which is better move?
Well, Tata getting red carded is also hilarious and fantastic. We had VAR in multiple cases. The referee was putting on a show. He wanted it to be about him.
I thought he did well, dude. I think the only thing he missed was that Hector Herrera second yellow. That's the only thing I think he did wrong in this game, to be honest.
We had Mexico. So again, a referee. I do think you can definitely criticize him, whatever you think of his performance, for waiting until the final couple minutes of regular time to pull out the step one of the anti-discrimination chant protocol, which they did it against Costa Rica as well. They waited until the very end of the match and said, "Oh, we're step one in the protocol because you guys are doing that chant we're not supposed to do." And like, if you're going to seriously use that stuff, use it. Don't pussyfoot around and like wait until the end of the game to try to send a message. That's definitely something. Also in this match, we learned that it is no longer Jordan Cibichu, okay? It is Jordan Pefok. Has changed his name.
Wow.
He pulled a, my mom's name is more, I want to be called my mom's name.
And, he's the new Orozco Fiscal?
Orozco Fiscal dropped the Fiscal part.
Michael freaking Orozco Fiscal.
Wait, we got Mike on the right? Can he give us a Jordan freaking Peacock Cibichu?
Mike, you've got a request since we just played your Michael freaking Orozco Fiscal. Now that we know Jordan Cibichu's name is now Jordan Pefok or Pefok or however you say it, got to give us one of those too.
My family's sleeping, guys. You're really putting me
My bad. He's a much older, more mature individual since he made the Michael Frisk.
That is about 7 years old at this point, I think.
That's true. His life is completely different. All right, Mike, what you got though?
I just sort of piggybacking off what you guys were just saying. This game for me it's close to an all-timer. Like just in terms of it has
we lost the connection.
You out of the Go ahead. Mexico rivalry. It just had like a little bit of average. You guys got me?
Yeah, sorry, our connection's a little bit rough, Mike. Go ahead and go back to the beginning again, and we'll see if it works.
Just saying, for me, this game was really like an all-timer. It had everything you want to see out of the USA-Mexico rivalry. So piggybacking off of what Jared was saying earlier, like really a baptism by fire. But for these kids that really have not had any sort of exposure to this, I think it's going to be really important, especially as they go through CONCACAF qualifying in a month or two, that they have a game like this and really get this sort of vibe for what they're going to be experiencing. So I think really, I mean, it's great they got the win and everything, and on top of that, but like they really cut their teeth tonight, and I was glad to see that.
Yeah, I think that's the big takeaway, Jared. I mean,
it's an experience game, man. This is a game that you put on your belt and you call back on this down the road.
It's a game that, look, again, your tactics and your lineup choices and how you play, and they didn't pass the ball well at all for the first half, basically. They couldn't string together more than a couple of passes, if that. So there was lots of things you could dig into here, but I kind of feel like, I know this is a cliche, okay? I get it. And we can't break things down and ask whether Berhalter got it right. I mean, playing Acosta at the six after all that other stuff he was doing with this team, people are angry that Yunus Musa didn't play. I hope there's some other reason for that other than...
I would appreciate a cap tie. That would have been nice, you know?
Yeah, I know there's that. I think they think he's committed and they don't need it, but, you know, whatever.
About to find out.
All those things matter. But, man, it's Mexico with a game, in a game with something on the line. Whatever it was. It was the Nations League trophy, whatever that means. That is like throw all that other crap out the window kind of territory. Like, you win that game on guts and on fight and on attitude. And you know, again, they scored off of two set pieces and a penalty kick.
It's a grown ass man result that I didn't think these kids had in them, to be honest with you. I was getting really kind of tired of seeing Pulisic put his head down when things didn't go his way up front. I'm like, go back there and work. Like, Gio Reyna made that improvement from the Honduras game to this one, where he worked his tail off the entire time. Weston McKennie worked his tail off the entire time, dude.
Yep.
You know, and maybe they didn't make every play right. Maybe they didn't do every touch right. And maybe there was a lot of times where they looked a little bit lost, but they never stopped working. They never start putting in the effort, and that's the American way. If you do that, you'll still be in games. You'll have people's respect.
And I'll say this. Again, there's a lot of Monday morning quarterback kind of stuff we can do with this game. And we will probably – like, I think midweek I'll probably grab somebody who is knee-deep in the tactics and try to break this down a little bit and get a little bit deeper on this. But I think if you're a fan of this team, just celebrate it. Like, just revel in this. Don't look at it sideways and get all weird about, oh, well, they didn't do this one thing right and this other part of the game lacked. They won a soccer match that a lot of people thought they could not win coming into this game. After what happened against Honduras, even though Mexico struggled against Costa Rica, how many people did you see on Twitter, in social media, say, oh, they're going to get absolutely roasted by Mexico? Mexico's going to score four on them. How many times did I see that in the last couple days? Hey, constantly.
When that goal went in 90 seconds, I didn't think they were wrong. By the way, shout out to Kristen Zabrowski here. First time here. Welcome, Kristen. Hope you come back again. Hit that hit that subscribe button and that bell. You'll know every time we go live.
Oh, wow. Jared's putting smooth talking on some people.
Hey, I do what I got to do.
Jonas in New Mexico, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, how's it going? I'm just like surprised, like some of the initial comments about this game. I'm like kind of shocked that people are so negative in some ways. Like, hey, you know, we just won a classic match against Mexico. 3-2, Christian Pulisic with that incredible penalty at the end, you know, and the save at the end. And, you know, like, let's just, you know, like, we don't have to, like, get into immediately, like, this whole negative vibe about the lineup or whatever. Like, let's just be happy. McKennie was dominant today. You know, to me, I was so happy watching him just dominate that midfield, dominate headers. I mean, two goals coming off of McKennie headers, really. And then the Pulisic penalty at the end was incredible to me. So it's a classic
finish.
And what I need at the end of this is a Clint Dempsey emoji with glasses, you know? that's all I need to celebrate this game.
With the camo jacket, right, or without the camo jacket?
Good night.
Appreciate it. I let him go. He was going to answer the question about the jacket. I'm not a fan of the jacket. I will say that Clint's sunglasses are maybe more famous now than Landon putting the sunglasses on in the Gold Cup 10 years ago.
100%.
So there is a little bit of talk about the penalty kicks, and I think we got some Mexico fans who are filtered over. And by the way, welcome, guys. I mean, I don't know how you feel. I don't know what kind of, you know.
Feel free to call in if you want to talk about it.
Sure. You want to talk about it? You want to talk through it? We've been on the other side of this plenty of times. Again, I think the United States last beat Mexico in a meaningful game in 2009 or something. Like, it's been forever. The penalties.
And I'll say this. Hey, your team was better in many ways.
And that's the thing. Like, I understand that we are asking the national team.
How's that silver medal, though?
We are asking the U.S. men's national team to take the next step in terms of being able to control the game, control tempo, put your foot on the ball, possession, create things through passing, one and two touch movement, stuff like that. The 1-2s that Mexico is so good at, I'm looking for those from the United States. We haven't quite figured out the rhythm. I know we're asking for that, but this is how Mexico has always been, right? They do 75% of the game really, really well. But it's that 25% that's always been their issue. They've gotten one over on the United States for a long time because our program was in disarray for us to even win the game, regardless of how the game played out. And because we do this thing in soccer, right? Like, oh, Mexico deserved to win the match. Yeah, but that's not how this works.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem with this lineup, this 3-4-3, whatever you want to call what we were playing today.
Yeah.
Where's the linking player? Where's the linking player through the middle? Weston McKinley is going to be asked to do way too much defensive work to be the linking player. How much space did you see between the midfield and the front three constantly today?
Right.
Until the substitutions started happening.
What did you think of Acosta then? And to start, before moving to fullback?
I thought there were times where he was off the base of the game. You know, I thought defensively he got everywhere, but got caught in possession a lot. But once again, I didn't see players close enough to. Players were either too far away or right on top of each other most of the game. Like, especially those front three, they were way too close to each other a lot of the times. I just think the team didn't know how to space themselves in this formation. Mm-hmm. Once they went to the 4-3-3 in the second half of the game, and the players that probably should have been started were on the field, and you had linking players like a Sebastian Legette in there. You got a defensive tenacity. Obviously, Tyler Adams, if he could have gone, would have been in there. But I'm worried that the U.S. or Greg Berhalter thinks the U.S. is so fragile that we have to change our entire formation to either A, overcome one player in midfield, Tyler Adams, or B, shoehorn Serginho Dest into a role doesn't look like he's good at.
Well, it's
like
not
we change our entire formation for that.
By the way, that's the thing. Yeah, so the Adams piece of it, and things got better in the midfield when Adams came into the game. At that point, it's a mess and it's chaos and everybody's legs have gone, so it's hard to really judge. I will say that. But the Serginho Dest thing is interesting because you said shoehorn, but that's not what everybody was calling for. Was get Serginho Dest up higher up the field, play him wide like a wingback, like he does for Barcelona, because that's where he's best. Turn everything inside out for him, and then he was trash tonight. And his body language, by the way, was absolute garbage. And I agree.
I think that's why he got pulled so early.
I like his confidence, but he was whining all over the place, and it was just like, dude, like you're not making things happen.
Let's be honest. This is his first CONCACAF.
Yeah.
This is his truly first CONCACAF experience, this Nations League between Honduras and this game. Didn't look great in either one of them. I think that we can say about a lot of these guys, maybe they're a little too pretty. Serginho Dest, he didn't grow up in this. Like, he didn't grow up playing U-20 games and stuff like that against CONCACAF kids, hacking them for a whole time.
Are you saying that Serginho Dest never played in an environment where people were throwing full cans of beer onto the field? Are you saying that never happened?
I'm saying he definitely wasn't ones where there was pee in some of those cans.
you, first of all, you don't know that happened. And by the way, that's another thing that happened in this game. And let's hope that Giovanni Reyna is okay, because he got pelted with, it looked like a full full cup of soda that somehow managed to keep all the soda in as it flew and hit him.
Yeah, it was weird.
The Mexico fans did not acquit themselves well tonight. All right.
You're assuming no American fans threw anything on the field.
No. But in that moment, after Pulisic scores the penalty kick, and you know, I don't know, somebody somewhere will say, well, Pulisic shouldn't have ripped his shirt off and celebrated in front of the Mexico corner, the Mexican fans in that corner
Screw
like that.
That.
It's like, come on, they're
Screw
at home.
That.
They're, he scores the goal that he thinks is going to win them the game.
And by the way, with 300 people on the line right now, if you guys want to get in, 717-727-BEST, if you want to get on the phone lines, we got a few open right now if you want to get in, and we'll get to you guys as soon as we can.
I'm going to get to a couple of these. I want to go over the penalties because we just haven't talked about them. The penalty for Mexico, I don't know what Mark McKenzie is supposed to. I know he was bad otherwise. I don't know what Mark McKenzie is supposed to do. I think that that interpretation of the law is absolute trash. The ball is headed down onto his hand from the distance of about 2 feet.
I had no problem with that. I was telling my family and kids it's a handball.
But what is he supposed to do?
It's away from his body.
But
as a guy who played defense my whole life, I expect to get that called against me.
That's crazy to me because he's not facing up to the ball.
Is his arm next to his body?
But how can you do that when that's not a natural movement? You ask him to act unnaturally, right? In order to avoid hitting his head.
Necessarily. I mean, like, I'm asking you to act, be aware. How many times do you see guys put their arms behind their back when they know something's coming in?
And obviously, Mexico fans are upset about the call on Pulisic. I think that's borderline. I've seen that given. I've seen it not.
I didn't think it was in real time, but when I watched it back, the connection to his body is just before the connection to the ball, and I think that's why it got called.
I got things falling off my ceiling and stuff over here. We're going to just keep going, though. Brian from Boston, who is currently in Colombia listening to us.
Watch out
on the line. What's up? Brian, what's up?
Yeah, here's how it's going. Yeah, I just actually want to talk about the PK that you guys brought up. So in my humble opinion, I think both weren't PKs, but I'm glad that both were called, especially the second one, because that way it balances it out, and the Mexicans can no longer say, oh, they got a free PK, because they got a free PK as well, too. You know what I mean? So at that point, it nullifies that argument. And, you know, it's fair and square at that point,
don't it? You could argue it's a makeup call. Brian, you're just, it's a little hard to hear, so I'm going to let you go. But you could argue it's a makeup call, right? I mean, as you said,
that's what it is? Hey, I mean, scoreboard, right? Like, the ball doesn't lie? Which cliche do you want? Like,
yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know.
I have some advice for Guardado. Learn to put it into the top corner of the net.
Look, I'm glad Ethan Horvath saved it. It was a good save, but
strong
it was not
wrist.
A great penalty.
Strong
not
wrist.
A great penalty kick. But Pulisic was a perfect penalty kick. And again, I'm not sure I thought he had that in him. But he took the moment, and he lived up to it.
Of my college roommates, he did an upper decker.
What is that? That doesn't even make any...
You never had an upper decker done on you?
No, I don't, man. Some people are new to our show.
Oh, my bad. They don't know
and
about
that. And their introduction to our show is going to be you making an upper decker reference.
Yeah, you missed the strong wrist reference, too, right there. I appreciate James coming through with that. Okay. You're off your game there, kid.
717-727-2378 is the phone number. Let's go to Wes from Idaho. Wes, you're on the Best Soccer Show. What's up, man?
Hey, man, I just wanted to say, I was watching this game, and I'm thinking, Alexi Lawless must love this. Because listening to his commentary over the years, he just goes, U.S. is all about set pieces and just fighting it out. And that's what this game was all about.
Yeah, look, and I think, you know, a lot of people give Alexi they give him grief for a lot of the things he says, the way he pokes at people. I'm not going to make an opinion on Alexi Lawless right now. He's been a friend of our show. I consider him a colleague kind of thing. I know that he rubs people the wrong way.
For most of you guys, you're not getting what he does.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Alexi, man. Go ahead.
I mean, I love Alexi. That number one, that's why. He put out a tweet after Pulisic scored the goal, bathing it, which I freaking loved. But I also loved how it felt like the U.S., as you guys talked about earlier, grew into the game and, like, they started doing exactly what Mexico always does to us, which I hate, but I love that we were just doing right back to them. Surrounding the referee, just getting in their faces, and it just felt like, yeah, this is what this rivalry is all about.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing that could have made this better if it was in Columbus. That's the only thing that would have made this better.
Absolutely. By the way, I just found out Ethan Horvath from Colorado. A local kid and doing that in his home stadium effectively, which is pretty awesome.
They didn't have
awesome.
Pictures of his parents up on the big screen.
No, but Claudio celebrating the goal from Gio was pretty cool, though. That was great.
It was.
I mean,
come
that's
on,
something
you, I got,
never
I got,
had before.
I got a little wet in the eyes there. When
did
that
you?
Happened.
Did you get a little misty?
We grew up with Claudio, man, and now we got kids, too. Sure. Can you imagine if your kid did that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'd be bawling. Like, there would be no, like... I wouldn't be composed.
I tell my kids, that's Captain America up there. And his wife was amazing at soccer, too.
In terms of again, Alexi notwithstanding, his thoughts on the way the national team plays. What we've said in addition to what Alexi has said is that we want them to be better at soccer, right? Just a simple way of saying it. We want them to progress. And they are, right, in terms of individual talent and now as a group, we want them to be better at soccer. But we also didn't want to lose that thing that allowed the United States to compete with nations like Mexico when they didn't have the talent, which was the fight, the set pieces, the heart, the, you know, they didn't back down. And it looked like Mexico was the side. I mean, Chucky Lozano just had an absolute meltdown at the end of the game. Like he might as well have been sitting on his
best
butt.
Best player on the field for the night, though.
Okay.
Maybe
that's
Linus.
Fine.
Maybe Linus.
Linus only played, what? I mean, he was that huge impact, but he didn't play. He played, what, 25 minutes or something?
We mentioned Denver on this. And I got just to go back to the normal show for just a moment. Can I do a quick pick your poison for you, Mr. Jason Davis?
Oh, sure. You can do that if you want to. Never trust a big button and smile.
Better U.S. Colorado game, Snow Classico, or what you just saw right now? You can only pick one. What's the better U.S. national team Colorado game?
I think it's one.
They're not different stadiums. Different stadiams, but both
different
Colorado.
Stadiums.
Both Denver.
Different stadiums. The Snow Classico game was trash. And actually, if I was a Costa Rica fan, if I was
but
a
there
Costa
was
Rica
no
fan,
snow fro.
I would have been so. I understand why Costa Rica fans hate that game, like with a burning passion. It was a joke that they played that game. Okay.
Oh, you're gonna summon Eddie from Brooklyn here if you keep.
I'd love. Eddie, I mean, I'm Eddie's, on Eddie's side. Maybe he would call in, but I'm not saying anything that's not true. We can like love that game and what it means, and do scoring a goal, great. But this game had literally everything. Like, there's not anything.
I looked at my wife at one point. I said, "This must be amazing for you, just as a neutral watching this. The drama that this game had, and I didn't think it was going to have it, man. The way this game started, I was like, oh, this is amazing. It was fun as hell, dude.
I thought." The goal, the opening goal, I thought it was done. I thought they would shrivel up and die. I thought Mexico was going to go on and win 3-0 and just pass the ball around the park for 90 minutes. That's what I thought. And again, I don't know how you account for what they did. Like, you know, you get a set piece. Again, we've already had a caller say Weston McKennie was immense, not just in the run of play, but obviously on those set pieces, he rises up and you know, makes that happen for Gio and then obviously scores the second. So, yeah, I mean it's kind of incomprehensible the way this played out.
Let's go through a couple of, like, high points here. Obviously, Ethan Horvath, high point. Tyler Adams, the difference in the game when he comes in, you see why he's so hyped. You see why every U.S. fan out there was like, "This is the guy. This is the guy. This guy." The step, the first step to the ball, the unrelenting pace to close down. We don't have another player like that.
No,
I mean,
nothing.
Credit to Jackson Ewell, Kellen Acosta. I appreciate you guys. You can go back to Michael Bradley. You can go back to Pablo Mastroeni. You can go back to Chris Armas, who you know is one of my favorite players of all time. Tyler Adams leaves them all in the dust. Leaves them all in the dust. And whatever we have to do to get his back to make him okay, we need to find a way to do it, because this is a player to build around. This one right here. I know Christian Pulisic's fancy and flashy and all this stuff. And he's a great player. Tyler Adams is who you build a team and a legacy around. That guy right there.
That's probably true. And I think that, you know, it's been hard, because, like, you don't want them to be so dependent on one player that the whole thing collapses if you don't have that guy. But at the same time, if you have a next level player, which is what Tyler Adams is in this particular system, it's okay to be that reliant on the player. You just have to have a plan B that allows you to remain competitive against whoever. You have to find a way to game plan around that. And again,
I think we'll have the same answer to James' question right here. Who got man of the match? Not officially.
No,
who's got the best soccer show man of the match? Where are you going?
I think it's Horvath. I think it has to be Horvath.
I'll tell you what I told my kids as I was running from that room into this room to do this show over a second after the whistle blew. I said, "Kids, the MVP is always whoever's on the bottom of the dog pile." Like, honestly,
that's true. Yeah, if they dogpile you, you're the hero.
You're the
you
guy,
did
man.
It.
I mean, it would have been Pulisic, but in the end, it's Horvath, man. That guy to come in unready,
cold,
cold as hell, and take over that game, make some big saves, and close this game out. Credit to him. He's the unlikely man of the match.
The Mexicans are extremely salty, which is just another
dose. Why are you on Mexican Twitter, man? Why are you on Mexican Twitter?
No,
you know what it's going to be.
It's people are filtering it over. Charlie Bohm, our friend, said that Mexican assistant Jorge Thieler, I don't know how to say that, addressing the media in place of Tata. "I have no doubt that in the 90 minutes or the 120 minutes, the winner should have been Mexico because of what they did on the pitch, because of the attitude in the game that they imposed." Okay, sure. You okay.
That's not how we do this, but if that's how you want to put out a petition or something. Like, we're recalling Newsom. Right. Maybe we can recall this thing, too. I don't know.
If this was a boxing match and there were judges pitch side who said, oh, you win the game, you scored it, then Mexico maybe wins.
If there were judges pitch side and Tata wouldn't put his arm around him.
By the way, I do believe in terms of total shots on goal, it ended up even. I mean, again, I don't know what that means because, you know, you can kind of see that Mexico was better at creating clear-cut opportunities.
Congratulations, Mexico. You won beautifully. You lost beautifully.
You lost beautifully.
What do you want me to tell you?
You know, look, I said this before, I said this recently on that we did the midweek show where we did the Gold Cup review, the roster review with Taylor Rockwell. And I said, why do Argentine coaches always talk about suffering? And by the way, Berhalter's picked this up, and I'm not a fan. Why are we just talking about suffering, right? Like, and Tata, hey, that's suffering. What you guys experienced tonight? Yeah. That's suffering. We've been on the other side of that, for sure.
Treat it as a building block. You can learn from this.
Yes, you can do that. All right, let's see if the phones are up and going again. Ray from Milwaukee. Ray, you're on the air. What's up?
Yeah, well, okay. Not a lot. What's going on? I would just like to say anybody who questions the mental mentality of this U.S. men's national team, all of that talk needs to stop today. That was a great mental win for the U.S. men's national team. And I think Zach, the goalkeeper, there's a real challenge for the number one spot, and he needs to really question if he's going to get enough playing time at Man City, because I don't think he's beating out the Brazilian guy, that guy's a top five goalkeeper in the world.
Okay,
I'll tell you what, if I'm Zach Steffen, I'm on the phone with my agent the moment I take a drink from that cup, and I tell him, you got to give me someplace where I can start.
Is it an actual cup, or is it like one of those big silver?
It looked like fake. It looked like it was filled in. I don't know. Didn't look glamorous at all, to be honest with you. If you can't listen, it ain't a trophy if you can't drink something from it.
Right, right.
If you can't drink alcohol from it, like what are you gonna do? You're gonna do a rail off that thing? Like you got to drink out of it.
I would rather the trophy be a shot glass, like one of those cheap ones you get when you're in a tourist trap, than a big piece of silver that you can't drink out of.
It should be one of those shot skis where they got five of them. And, I mean, they have 11 of them. The whole starting lineup does one at once at the same time.
Yeah, there you go. Or like a, you know, like a beer sampler.
Wait,
when you
how
go
many
out
of
to
our
the...
guys can't drink?
That's a good question.
How many of our guys said I can't drink?
Yeah.
Gio Reyna can't have a drink. In Europe, he could. He can't have a drink. What the heck is this?
By the way, I love this win. It is bringing people together. I got a guy who is a candidate for Congress in Colorado who just sent me a DM about how excited he is around this win. So we got all kinds of people out here getting excited about that. I love this. I was going to come back to something. I'm trying to remember what it was now. Again, there's so many different things that are here on the table for the U.S. men moving forward. You know, again, the questions of exactly what the best team looks like, we still haven't answered those questions. And some of that is maybe on Berhalter tonight in terms of the center back options, the three-man back line, the 3-4-3, the trying to get Sergiño Dest. And you know, important to note that your wingbacks, as much as Sergiño Dest was just bad, your wingbacks are going to be limited when they're playing a team with wingbacks themselves, right?
Well, credit where credit's due. Yedlin was far more the effective wingback between the two. But the reason for that is that he's a way better defender than Sergiño Dest. Yes. Like, let's be honest with ourselves. Sergiño Dest is a crap defender.
But remember when we used to say that about DeAndre Yedlin? Like, he could run up and down the field real fast, but he wasn't a very good defender.
I'm not saying he's great. I'm saying he's better than Dest. Reggie Cannon is still the best fullback defender we have in this lineup. Yeah. But like, Greg Berhalter's really worried what he's going to get out of the offensive side because there's so much pressure to attack from the back, you know, with the wings. Yeah. That's the modern game. Greg Berhalter cares too much about what the modern game thinks of him.
I think that's probably true. I think he overthought the lineup quite a bit.
Any guy that wears those shoes on the sideline cares way too much what people think about him in cred.
I think he needs to simplify this. You know, I was saying it after the game against Honduras. You can see the seeds that are planted, and again, the talent level. If I'm the manager of the U.S. men's national team, and I'm not. The things I care about are a solid defensive setup, right? Okay, so that's, and obviously if you got Tyler Adams, it makes it a lot easier, but Tyler Adams in front of two competent center backs, right? If you want to say, I want to play out of the back, okay, fine. Look, John Brooks is great with the ball at his feet, picking a pass if you give him the right angles and lanes. do that. Get another guy in there who's an athlete who can make up for some mistakes at the back, that kind of thing. Maybe even a better 1v1 defender. Like, you know, find whoever that is. If it's McKenzie, great, but let's work on his the ball at his feet. Then it's get Christian Pulisic the ball in space. Find a way to get him on the ball in places where he can make shit happen. Because it didn't happen. Yeah.
Well, and here's the other problem. Josh Sargent isn't a striker. I'm sorry. The dude's not a... Well, okay, we have a striker that doesn't score goals. Okay, like...
No, that's true. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, he can't be. Like, I don't... The experiment looks like it's going to keep going on, but at some point... Your striker has to score goals. Even if he's not going to score goals, your striker has to be dangerous in front of goal. He's not dangerous in front of goal, man. Like, he's just not. Because he's in this formation, there was such a gap between the midfield and the strikers. He had to fall back so far to try to participate in the game because they weren't leaking up. That's not his fault. But if you're going to do that, you're not going to be in position to score. And I'll say this, too. We were talking about the back. Matt Miazga found out exactly what Greg Berhalter thinks of him today. Like, there is no clearer message sent to any player on the roster than to Matt Miazga. Because when it came down to it, and they were going to play three different center backs, and there's four on the team, Tim Ream was the guy that they went with. Yeah, and Mark McKenzie, who has one cap.
Sure, but the reason he picked Ream is because he talked himself into three center backs, and he needed somebody who plays left-footed. That's why he.
You don't.
Well, that's what. That's why he chose Tim Ream. I'm not saying you may be convinced you don't need one.
We're putting Dest over there. We don't care about that for some reason, but we think Tim Ream has to be the guy. Well, it's flawed logic.
Okay, sure, but you don't play an inverted left center back. Like, that's a wild move.
Why? They pass with their right as much as they pass with their left. You're constantly squaring balls either way.
That's true. In an ideal situation, though, that player with the ball at his feet is able to play the ball up the line, and you need to have your left foot to do that, in my estimation.
You know, I'm controlling the chat when the Terrence Boyd message comes through on the stream, right?
No, look, Jordan Pefok, or whatever, and again, I want to get his name right. I think names are important. Jordan Pefok is ahead of him. You know, again, Sargent may get another opportunity. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, World Cup qualifying is not until September.
Daryl DK. By the way, Daryl DK stole a medal tonight. Did you hear about that? He got a medal. Like, he went up on the line, and they got him. He got a medal tonight. That's awesome. I love it.
Sure. Love it. No, they love him. When Jordan Pefok scored the goal against Honduras, they went and celebrated because it was DK's birthday. All right, we got some calls. Let me try to get them in. Gio in Texas, you're on the Best Soccer Show. What's up?
Hey, I had originally called in to talk about Tim Ream a little bit, but I wanted to circle back to something that Jared said. I wanted to ask a question, actually. Would you say that Sargent's impact on the game was overall positive or negative if you had to swing one way or the other?
I mean, for a striker, it's hard to be negative because, unlike defenders, you make one mistake and the team scores. If he makes one mistake, they can still score. Like, you expect a striker to miss chances. You do. You expect a striker not to be 100% strike rate. A defender's job is to be 100% consistent, you know? So I think it's hard to say. I will say that he was effective defensively, but I think he was good for half the job.
Why do you sound like me?
What was the question again? What did you want me to say?
Was he overall positive or negative in terms of his impact on the game?
I'll say even positive because I think it's rare a player is overall negative.
Okay,
I think it's very rare.
A plus one, not a plus 10. Like, if you're talking about scale,
I would say he was, if anything, neutral. But I'll say, for his argument, I'll say he's positive. Because I think it's really hard to be negative overall.
I would agree with that, Gio. I think he does a lot of nice things. Obviously, the United States struggled a bit in terms of build up, but he does a lot of nice things. Mexico did a good job on him. He had half chance that he wasn't able to get around. So I don't know.
Let me ask a question to my man right here, and this is to you too. Let's say you had a hammer, and it's the best hammer you've ever found at pulling nails out of a wall. The claw is amazing. It's amazing the way it takes stuff out of the walls. But every time you go to hit a nail, it misses. Do you really have a hammer, or do you just have a fancy crowbar?
I see what you're saying.
I'll do you one better. If that hammer is somehow an incredible screwdriver, look, I just have a really good screwdriver now. It might be a different tool entirely, but it's still useful. And where I was going with it was that you guys just talked about how Serginho Dest is not a very good defender, but he's a fullback. He's supposed to be on the back line. He's supposed to defend, but we keep him in the lineup because he's incredibly useful going forward. He plays the ball well. He's good with the 1-2s, all of those things. And what's the thing he doesn't do well? Defend as a defender. Argent doesn't strike well as a striker. These things don't matter to me if they're both contributing positively to the overall performance of the group.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a very modern take on positional play, Mr. Gio, who I just dropped.
We're treating soccer like it's whose line is it anyway. All the points are made up and the scores don't matter. You know, like it's man. Everybody pick what you want to do. Pick what you, all the names don't matter. Oh, you're a defender? That doesn't matter. Oh, you're a striker? Don't worry about scoring goals. At some point, you're going to wear a number 9, not a number 8.5.
I do, but I appreciate what he's saying, though, that he's saying, look, this is a unit. These are not individuals who are going out like a gymnastic team and putting in a routine that adds to the score. Like, you play within the setup of the team. Now, again, this can be as much about Berhalter and his choices as it is about Sargent and what he does, or what Serginho Dest does, because they have to be put in a position to succeed. They can be bad, and we can call them out on being bad, but if they're put in positions, and I said this about Tim Ream, why is Tim Ream being left on an island to defend 1v1 against Mexican wingers? What the
hell?
Because
we like to watch the world burn.
Heart attack every single damn time, and I'm now at the point where, based on my family history and my age, I have to worry about these things, okay? Let's not do that.
That's some old dad FC right there.
So we come back to Serginho Dest and fixing everything so that he gets in a better position to contribute, and then when he doesn't, okay, now look, you tried it. It didn't work. I mean, against Mexico, it didn't work. Maybe against smaller teams in CONCACAF, it will. I think unleashing Serginho Dest on CONCACAF might make sense. But if you're going up against a good team who's going to have more of the ball, who's going to pull you apart the way that Mexico can pull you apart, get him out of there. Use him as a late-game substitute.
Shout out to Mike and Philly. Josh Sargent's a bedazzled crowbar when all we need is a rusty old hammer. And
is that
I think Daryl DK is just that rusty old hammer we might need.
Okay. All right. We're going to find out. Hopefully, we're going to find out. And Gold Cup, baby. The game against Costa Rica is going to be, I don't know what to expect out of that. Like, why do they schedule that? Because now it's just a come down. Like, are we really going to do this?
Is it the same lineup? Are all these players in that roster?
Yes. Although I think DK is going to come into that. Well, and he'll
it's like, as the men, we don't win many trophies. Now it's like the women's team. You get to go on like a winning tour.
Yeah, that's wild. All right, let's go to Stefan from L.A. Stefan, you're on the air. What's up?
Zach?
No, I don't think so. Or Stefan. It might be Stefan. I might get it wrong.
Zach,
what's up?
Just another Stefan from LA. Howdy, boys. Man, I just wanted to call and celebrate the Chaser Dawson. Not Dawson Sailor, but the Chaser Dawson. I'll take that. I just want to talk about the rebirth of American grits. You know, I know we're talking about different this and different that. Yeah, there's plenty of room for improvement. But something I saw tonight, and also with Honduras, is that American grit. And I can't remember the last time we saw that. And I think it's a gift that we get that back. I'm seeing them fighting. I'm also seeing a very healthy locker room. I don't know if they're getting that vibe like I'm getting. And I think the U.S. locker room has been relatively fractured for a while now. It's been in repair and rebuild mode. And I think Triple G is doing a pretty good job, slowly but surely, building these guys into a very cohesive group. I know there's plenty of improvement, right? We scored our old goals off set pieces and penalties. We didn't hold the ball. We didn't score off play. You know, Dest as much as I do believe Sargent's a little too passive. I'd rather see a DK or a Sibichu, or I'd love to get Matthew Hoppe, maybe give him a tryout at some point. You know, I get all that. But the reality is that the locker room seems healthy, and I think that's a much bigger win than I think that's a big deal that we should appreciate, the gift.
I agree with that. I think that's true. And we got
grit again. So what you're saying is like bring Jeff Cameron up and we'll make America great again. Like that's what we're doing over here.
No, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Call out Jeff Cameron.
No, stop
it. We already got Pulisic.
Stop it. I don't want to talk
to you. We can do this.
In a pro. All right. So what first of all, the Fat and Swagger crew. This is definitely like we brought the energy
fat
back,
swagger.
Right? Fat, the swagger
for
is there.
For people that may not know, America does two things, fat and swagger.
Fat and swagger, those two things we do. The grit factor is not a small thing, and I do love that. And I'm ready for that to be the character of this team. And to his point about the way the locker room is working, first of all, that might, on some level, just be a generational thing. These guys know each other. They, a lot of them have played together at the youth levels. Yep. Like, that's a natural. I do think that Berhalter can do something to foster it. And clearly, he recruited Yunus Musah, who is not cap tied, and we're all freaking out. But he's there right now with the group, and he gets to celebrate
Jordan
this
Pefock.
Too. And Jordan Pefock wants to be part of it. And these players who have declared for the United States and want to be in this team, that says something about the chemistry, the camaraderie in the group. And Berhalter can be given a good grade on that. But if you're grading a coach, you don't just grade on one or two areas. You have to judge him on a lot of different things. The problem is, if he's really good, if he's getting an A plus on the team's chemistry and like the culture within the team, he might be getting a C minus or a D on tactics and lineup choices.
My thing. I had this thought during the game. Greg Berhalter is getting side credit for the talent in the American system. That's not his job, and that's something he gets credit for. He doesn't get credit for the players that are playing in Europe and the players that are at an elite level. He gets credit for what formation goes on the field, the product that it looks like, and the result that it achieves. That's what he gets credit for. And to start this game, he was failing at all three of those things. By the end, hey, a couple of them came through for us. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I'm
happy about that. But so often, I think we are dazzled by where our guys play and how good they are individually, that Greg Berhalter gets credit for that. He doesn't. He doesn't. Hell, Jurgen Klinsmann gets more credit for that than Greg Berhalter does, to be honest with you.
Okay, sure. That's probably fair. To a certain extent. I mean, again, we're going to have a love-hate relationship with our head coach, kind of no matter who it is, until we're doing things like progressing into the quarterfinals of the World Cup, and then you celebrate that. I mean, you know, it's always going to be like the coach of the national team is going to be highly criticized unless the team is dominant all the time. And we just know that that's not going to happen, especially against a nation like Mexico.
What do you think about this take right here from Michael Dwyer? He outcoached Tata today.
I think you could argue that in the second half that he did.
It's kind of hard when Tata's sub comes on this field and scores within 2 minutes of coming on the field.
Sure, but I don't know how much
credit you give. That sub changed the game as much as Adams did later on.
That's true. You're right. And like, do you give... So Adams was an injury issue who would have been starting if he was completely healthy.
Yeah.
Lainez, you know, obviously, maybe Tata didn't think he was a 90-minute or 75-minute player. That's why he brings him in late in the game. He's a game-changing player. I don't know that how much credit you give Tata Martino for looking down his bench, seeing an incredibly gifted, talented young player like Diego Lainez and says, go in the game and change it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a great player. I'm scared. I scared shitless of Diego Lainez whenever he has on the ball for Mexico against the United States. The idea that Tata Martino had a masterstroke tactically or in terms of game management because he put Diego Lainez is kind of ridiculous, because he's the obvious choice to go create a goal, right? He's the guy with the magic in his feet.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that was one of the scariest players I've come on for Mexico since Gio Dos Santos back in the day. Like,
oh, yeah.
Honestly.
Let's hope. No, I was going to say something mean.
That dude took over the game.
No, but at least for the I was gonna say something mean about Diego Lainez's future, but maybe I'll just say I hope Diego Lainez's national team career goes the same way as Giovanni Dos Santos. Let me just say it that way, because you know he has a great moment, but maybe in the future he's not quite as effective with Mexico, at least not when they play the United States, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's still some questions out there about why no Yunus Musah. I just think that. Maybe Greg just feels that a very young player isn't quite ready for that middle of the field. And that was a tough part of the field today. I think I obviously we haven't talked about this yet, but I think one of the two subs that are made at the same time were Tyler Adams and Sebastian Legette. I think Sebastian Legette's not getting much run, but that was a player that you could hold the ball for a second in the midfield that was really missing during the first, what was that, 70, 80 minutes before they came in. I'm not sure what minute they came in.
Yeah, 82nd, 81st, something like that.
Was honestly kind of surprised Legette didn't start, but that kind of gives you the idea of the mentality Berhalter went in there with, that the middle of the field just wasn't an option for us today. He was content to play the whole game on the wings. And I think with Dest and Pulisic, there's a bit of a problem over there in that they don't make room for each other. How often do you see them both on the sideline in each other's way?
Yeah.
And that just can't happen. That has and then Mexico, to be
death Mexico collapses
area.
And turns the ball
and
over.
And there's no person for a square ball. That's the problem. Yeah. They're both on the sideline, and because you're playing McKennie and Acosta, and they have such a defensive responsibility, that square ball to relieve pressure just isn't there in this formation the way it is in the 4-3-3.
Yeah. There are definitely some questions. I mean, you ride the emotion, you ride the energy of this thing, you use it to propel you into qualifying in September. Right, Berhalter is going to get some time as sort of a low pressure environment with the Gold Cup. I mean, I think everybody will want the U.S. to win the Gold Cup, but what is that going to be? You know, like literally, the roster is a complete mystery right now, and almost none of these players are going to be in it. We hope DK maybe gets a shot.
Yeah,
I could see. Man, maybe one or
I
could see Horvat.
I hope Miazga's in there.
Maybe Miazga, a couple of them, but I think largely you're going to see a completely new group of players. So it is.
Yeah. It's going to be fun, though. I'm probably looking a little bit more forward to that than I thought I was going to be. I'm looking forward to the Gold Cup right now.
I don't think it's going to be nearly as anxiety
No, it's not going to matter. Because you're saying, I don't know which one of these tournaments actually matters anymore. I mean, I know my starters played in this one, but I don't understand why this is more important than the Gold Cup still. I don't get it. Why is it? The trophy doesn't look as good.
Yeah, the Gold Cup trophy is insanely large, though, and very sharp, and like it would put somebody's eye out. I'm afraid of the Gold Cup trophy.
That's America.
Can you drink like an entire?
That's fat and swagger.
That's fat. That it's fat. I'm not sure. It's fat at the top. It's skinny at the bottom. It has like this cone
swagger.
Shape.
The spikes are swagger.
It's not really a cup. It's a cone. You know what I'm saying? Like a cup is like more like a. I don't know. It's like a bowl.
Can you drink out of it?
By the way, there is this photo that you have to see. Okay. Fox Deportes put it out. It is Christian Pulisic shirtless, having ripped off his shirt after the penalty kick. Surrounded by the team. Timothy Weah is on the side. Giovanni Reyna's got his arm around Pulisic. Pulisic is holding up his finger to the crowd, the Mexican fans.
Oh,
and
yes.
And he's putting his hand up right there, shushing the crowd. He's got
no,
the
he was just telling you how much we were up by. One goal.
One nation, one team.
Hey, that's Mexico, at least it wasn't Dos a Zero.
At least, yeah. Man, what a wild one. All right, I don't have any calls left, so that's fine. We can wrap this thing up. Is there anything, any other parting words, any other things we should definitely get to that we? I mean, I know we missed a ton of stuff that happened in that game.
This is a real quick recap. One player you don't want to see on the World Cup qualifying team that you saw tonight, and one player you want to see more of that you saw tonight.
Okay, one player I do not want to see is Tim Ream. I think that's pretty easy. Yeah. The player I want to see more of in the World Cup qualifying process. I like PFOC and I like what he can do, and maybe DK passes him up. I don't know, but I don't. You know,
I'm with you on Ream.
I'm going to say DeAndre Yedlin. I'm going to say DeAndre Yedlin, who I thought was okay and maybe brings a little bit more veteran presence. Not that I don't like. The other options exactly, but as you said, Reggie Cannon is really your defensive first fullback.
Yeah,
and DeAndre Yedlin gives you some things on
change
both sides of the ball. Yeah,
I'll say Reem's obviously mine. Don't want to see as well, but the one I'll say I want to see more is Tim Weah. I'd like to see Tim Weah.
Oh yeah,
tonight.
No, he did play well. Yeah, he did play well.
I think he was a bit of an island. I think that a lot of times we didn't have the player up there for him to combine with, but I like how he just head down towards goal. That's all he's thinking about when he gets the ball is how to get to that area.
You know, he wasn't, and you can say this about all the substitutes, everybody who came in the game. So Adams, PFOC, Cibichu, Leggett, Cannon, Weah, but certainly Tim Weah jumped out for me. He met the intensity of the game the second he stepped on the field. Like, there was no, like, working your way into it. No, like, oh, man, he didn't look like he was up for it right away. He had to figure out what was going on. He literally just jumped into the game, met the intensity of the match, and that's going to be key, whether it's Mexico or Honduras away or Costa Rica away or Costa Rica at home for even, you know, these games are going to be like that. And I love that from Tim Weah. And I think he's just... I think he's an incredible, a lot of these guys are incredible locker room guys. I think Tim Weah is one of the good locker room guys.
He seems like a good hype man.
Absolutely.
I think McKennie's probably the best hype man. But here's the thing. If Christian
McKennie is made, McKennie is like 75% hype. Like that, like is the makeup of his, the chemical makeup of his body.
Can we just have a real quick 10-second conversation about this? Is Christian Pulisic the best captain?
No, I don't think so. But I don't think it necessarily matters with this group. I know lots of people are saying, well, McKennie has to be the captain. He stepped up in those moments. I like John Brooks as a captain, too. I'm okay with that. But I don't know that it matters.
Is it
Blitzen? I don't.
But here's the thing. I think this is an ego captain's art band. I think this Berhalter gave it to him because he feels like he has to
no,
have
but
it
you,
or
you,
he deserves
no,
it.
No, no, no. Do you know that there's a committee? They have you have to go find this story. I don't have it in front of me. I can't give you all the details. But they formed like a players committee, and they rotate. They're rotating the armband through this group, and they decide as players who gets to wear the armband for the game. And I think this is I think that's about the team culture and the camaraderie thing. I think they don't want to set one player up
it's
above everybody
else.
It's
a little new agey for me.
You're going to go old FC on this?
Can you imagine 1999 at Manchester United if someone told Roy Keane that, hey, I'm going to take a turn on this? I don't know. Maybe I'm just old school.
Hold on. I know they're filming. I think they wrapped it already. They're already done with the second season. But I think we just wrote an episode or a storyline in Ted Lasso. That they decide to do
Ted Lasso thing to do.
Like a captain by committee thing, and Roy Kent is like, oh no, what the no, I'm not doing.
Well, the only problem is he did give up his armband in the final episode
because he came off in that game, right?
He didn't start.
Oh, that's right.
He went in and then he came back.
That's
out.
Right.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
If you're not on the Lasso train.
All right. So this is what I'm gonna do here at the end. Thank you. There's the picture. Thank you to Nikki Soup and Salad who went and found it.
Dude, don't show that to my wife.
Look at, dude, that is.
There's so much Tiger Beat skills there, dude. Look at Gio Reyna's poof.
It's just perfect. Perfect.
That is pretty. That's a badass picture, dude.
That's a badass
lie,
picture.
That is a great picture.
You, me, and every single person listening to this show right now, we've never taken a picture.
Our pants.
As cool as that in our life.
No,
like
never. Well, first of all, I've never had my body even close to that.
Well, okay. There's that.
Like
for
you
sure.
Take me at 18 when I was playing the senior captain in my senior, like my senior varsity soccer team. I'm not even close to that.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, he had muscles that I didn't know existed in those abs down there. And that's like, I'm feeling pretty good about where I am. I need to lose maybe 10 more pounds I'm like,
Nikki Sukasaja, let us know the photo credit that goes to Christian De Marchena.
Yeah. CD Marchena on Twitter. Matt Doyle just,
I might have found my new screensaver.
I think so. I think it has to be. And you know what? Here's the thing. Like on my phone, do I bump off Mr. Thiago rocking
for
the USA right there?
For a day.
I mean, I don't know, but look. Don't you think that's as good as the Pulisic picture, though? Look at that kid. Come on.
Can he hold up a finger?
Look at that. No, not well. Not if I let. Not on command. Okay. Anyway.
Can he put an upper decker in?
He specializes in the material
lower
that's
deckers.
Used.
He does lower
in upper deckers.
Deckers.
But he doesn't. Yeah, he deposits them in other places. All right, we are all in all the social medias. It's Bestie Soccer on Twitter. It is the best soccer show on Instagram. Obviously, especially if you're watching on YouTube now, just hit subscribe so you know when we're live. And generally speaking, Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time is when we're live, unless there's something like this where we have to go live after a game.
Yeah, and then in addition to that, there's a non-YouTube show every week from the stands where Jason goes deep dive on a subject. That's
it's called a
podcast feed.
I think the word you're looking for is podcast.
On our podcast feed, you can get this show and the From the Stands show. And then if you really want more content, our Patreon at The Best Soccer Show.
The Best Soccer Show.
And a number of different tiers gets you bonus coverage. There's an extra bonus podcast every week. This week is going to be kind of tough because it's already, 2 a.m. or something your time?
Yeah, it's not going to happen
So I don't
today.
Think it's happened this week. Normally, bonus show on there. We do poker games with the besties. There's a ton of stuff going on there. Beer subreddits where they share beer and ship it across the country to each other and watch games together on Zoom. It's a fantastic community. You'll see some of the guys in there probably telling you about it in the chat tonight. Great community to be a part of if you're just finding us tonight. Stick around, hit subscribe, hit the bell if you want to be notified every time we go live.
There you go. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Ratings and reviews, and usually we bring in Mr. Soup and Salad for reviews, but I don't think we have any to add to the program tonight. So if you hit us up on especially Apple Podcasts, drop a review and tell us that you like the show, 5 stars, all those lovely things. You know, do right by American soccer. And support the show. All right, I think that's it. I'm going to have to sleep now. I don't know how that's going to happen. I think I'm 75% hype right now. I mean, fat swagger and hype, that's what I'm made of. I don't know where the energy levels
are
going to drop
down. Too many
white cloths
tonight, man.
Man, just insane. What a win for the U.S. men's national team beating Mexico in the Nations League final.
There's Freddie. There's your guy on the Patreon right there. Freddie on the send beer. Join us. What a great advertisement for the Patreon that is.
Yeah, yeah, it's perfect. All right, that's it. Are we done? I think we're done. Thank you guys for listening, and yeah, man, go celebrate some more or go to bed, whichever one is necessary for you in your life, and we'll talk to you on From the Stands, but also next Sunday night live, 9 p.m. Eastern. See you then. Bye.
Damn, dog, that's in a boat.
Danger zone!
Oh, it's incredible!
Big ball of steel!
Oh, would you look at that? An absolute firecracker!
Eddie, what have you done for me lately?
Get to the chopper!
Duh and or hello.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Got to coordinate.
Oh, baby!
Jay Rhodius.